Today's daf is Shavuos Daf Hey, and we are about 10 lines from the top of Daf Hey Amid Aleph, the two dots Gufa. So, Masechta Shavuos began Shavuos Shtayin Shehen Arba. The second halacha was Yediyos HaTumah Shtayin Shehen Arba. Yediyos HaTumah is talking about the laws of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, where the halacha is that if somebody's Tameh and B'shoigig, he either eats Kachim or he enters the Beis HaMikdash, assuming that there was Yediya B'Tchila and Yediya B'Saif, and the Shkaga, or the Halama, was in between, the halacha is he would have to bring a Karban Oil V'Yoyre. And the Mishnah says, Shtayin Shein Arba, because there are two examples of how somebody would bring this Oil V'Yoyre that are Mefurish in the Torah. There are another two that are not Mefurish. Thus, really, there's four, two are Mefurish, two not. That's this Lashon of Shtayin Shein Arba. But one thing was clear, as the Mishnah discussed in very great detail, that the only time somebody brings a Karban Oil V'Yoyre for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh of B'Shoigeg is if there was Yediya B'Tchila, Yediya B'Saif, which Pasha means he knew that he was Tameh, forgot, and then he was reminded that he was Tameh, and it was during the time that he had forgotten, at the time of the Halama, that he was Nichshol in Mikdash V'Kadoshah. The question is, what's the Makar? So the Gemara had brought it briefly. The reason the Gemara brought it, because it's in fact the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Either way, the Gemara goes back to the source of this Halacha, that the Oil of Yoyred for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshah is contingent upon there being Yediyah B'Tchila, Yediyah B'Saif. Gufa, I mean, Ayin She'ni Chayv El'al She'esh, but Yediyah B'Tchila, Yediyah B'Saif, Elam Bein Time. How do we know that the only time Yechayv Karban Oil of Yoyred is if there was Yediyah, then Halama, then Yediyah? Talmud Loimar, it's learned out from the Pasuk. It says, V'nelam, V'nelam, Shnei Pa'amim, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, it's because it says the word V'nelam twice in the parasha of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshah. V'nelam suggests that you once knew, because you can't forget something that you never knew. So if it says Vinelam, you forgot. Vinelam, again, you forgot. It suggests, therefore, that there were two Yediyos, and the way we explain the two Yediyos are Yediyah B'Tchila and Yediyah B'Saif. Rabbi says, Ein Tzarech, you don't need two times Vinelam to teach me Yediyah B'Tchila and Yediyah B'Saif, because Rabbi Yoimer, it says Vinelam, Michlal Sheyada, that's one, and then it says Vehuyada, Harei Kan Shtei Yediyos. So from one Vinelam, combining it with the words Vahu Yada, I already know Yediyah B'Tchila and Yediyah B'Saif. So Rebbe says, I don't need the second Vinelam to teach me Yediyah B'Tchila, Yediyah B'Saif. What's the punchline of this drasha? Im kein ma talmud loy ma Vinelam. So says Rebbe, if I don't need the second Vinelam to tell me the second Yediyah, so what then does Vinelam teach me? V'chaya Valhelem Tumo Valhelem Mikdash. Says Rebbe, it's coming to teach me that the parsha of Oyla V'Yoyre, the Chi of Carbon, would be true if the Halama was, if the person forgot he was Tameh, or if the person remembered he was Tameh, but the Halama was that he was eating Kachim, or the Halama was that he was entering the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, without a separate drosha, I would have thought that the only time Yechayev Oyla V'Yoyre for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav is if the Halama was on the Tumah. But if the Halama was on the Mikdash, the Halama was on the Kadoshav, maybe not. For that, I have an extra vanilla. Now, who has the extra vanilla in this brisa? Rebbe does. In another brisa, it's Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva doesn't. So this was the basis that really the halachah v'diyas atumah shtayin shein arba v'machloikis shnuya. It's really machloikis Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael. Rebbe v'shitasoy in this brisa clearly had an extra vanellum. He said it explicitly. As a result, l'shitasoy, when he was mefarish our Mishnor, or when he brought examples of Shtayin Shein Arba, he mentioned Yediyah Satoma because he clearly holds that the halacha of Oyla V'Yoyred is not only when the halama was on the Tumah, but even if the halama was on the Mikdash V'Kadosh of Amar Mar V'Nela Michal Sheyada. So the most basic point, premise of the aforementioned braisa is that when the Torah says Vinelam, it suggests that this person must have previously known. Vinelam means this person forgot something. You don't forget something that you never knew. It's not possible. Says the Gemara, my mashma, how do you know that? Amar Rav, middle lake sivihi aluma mimenu. Because of what the pasuk meant to say was that this person never knew. Not he knew and he forgot, but it was always aluma mimenu. It was always hidden from him. It was something that he never knew. Then it should have said vihi aluma mimenu. Vinelam suggests that there was a moment where he suddenly was Nelam, again implying that he had previously known. So if you're going to tell me that there's a diak in the word Venelam, Michal Sheyada, now we have to scan the Torah and see if there's other places where you find the same word Venelam and see whether or not we can make the same diak. It says in the parsha of Soita, and this is talking about a Suffolk Soita, where a man suspects that his wife is maybe being involved in illicit activity. He warns her and says, "Altistri amish ploini." There was somebody specific that he was worried about. There was now stira. The halacha is kidev stira. We now have to suspect that maybe she was mezana. It's a chiddush haTorah, the parish of Suffolk Soita. She had to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. She had to drink the mayim hamaorim. If she was guilty, she died. If she was innocent, then she was zoicha to a lot of brachas. In the interim period, there were three yisurim. She was also to her husband, she was also to the bayil, and she was also betrum as well, assuming she was someone that otherwise would be able to eat truma. Now, one of the psukim that describe the setup of the soita says as follows: V'shochav ish oisa shichva zera v'nela me'enei isha v'nistra v'hinet ma v'edein ba v'hilo in espasa. Now, Pasha, when you read the pasuk, it just sounds like v'nela me'enei isha, that there's something going on that the husband is not 100% sure of. He warns her, and then there's a stira. When your mother said you, the word vanilla probably wouldn't bother you. Stating that, Abaya asked Akasha. Abaya said that if we're going to learn a whole drasha from the word vanilla, that vanilla always means michlal sheyada, then lechura, you have to make the same diak over here. Vanilla me'ini isha, michlal dehaviyada me'ikara. As if to say that this person must have known that his wife was a Suffolk Saita, then forgot, then remembered again, and when he remembered again, he took her up to the Beis HaMikdash to give her to drink from the suffix, from the Mayim HaMa'arim. But the Gemara is saying, Abaya's argument, the word Venelam suggests that there was some halama, that there was an interim period where he had forgotten that his wife was a suffix site. Again, when you read the Psukim Mavisedra, it doesn't sound like that's what Venelam is trying to say. But that was what Abaya thought. And what was Abaya's kasha? If that's the case, if a man gives his wife kinui and then the stira, and then he forgets about it, and he lives with her as if they're a regular husband and wife, and then later he remembers again, mi bat kula maya, will the water even work? For time, we learn to the price of nika ishmeyav, the isha hi tisas avayna. And we learn from the bezman she ishmenukameyavayin, hamayim baitkin es ishtai. If the man is clean, he himself is perfect, then the mayim work. But eina ishmenukameyavayin, eina mayim baitkin es ishtai. If the man himself had some averas, then the mayim didn't work to be baitik his wife. What averas specifically is the Gemara discussing? It's discussing with the man was Bayal Ishtai, which ordinarily would be Mutter, but now it's Asa because of the fact that she's a Suffolk site, and it's one of the three Yisurim of a Suffolk site, the Mayim is not Baidik anymore. And the way Rashi learns the Gemara and the way the Rishonim explain Rashi, Ayin Tosis, Ayin Ritva, there's a whole Arichos in the Rishonim because the Gemara is a little bit Sassim. We do what we do, but the Gemara is a little bit Sassim, and that is that if there was a Halama, presumably he was Bayal Ishtai because he forgot that she was a Suffolk site. Once he's Bayal Ishtai, the water doesn't work anymore. So how could the Torah's classic example of the Suffolk Saita be a case where there was Venelam? Venelam suggesting that he knew she was a Suffolk Saita, then he forgot, then he remembered again. Once he forgets she's a Suffolk Saita, presumably there was a Be'ilah. If there was a Be'ilah, the Mayim isn't going to be Bayit again. But Vesu says the Gemara, another Kasha I'll ask, Yabi Torah Dichsev. It says regarding Torah, a pasuk in Eoif, Venelma me'enei kol choy u'me'oif ha'shamayim nestara. That the Torah is Nelam. Michal deikad aviyada be, you're going to make the same diuk that everyone knew the Torah at some point, and it was only later that it became Nelam. No way, Vaksiv. But the pasuk also says it's in the same parak and say for Iyav, Iyav chavches v'lo yada enoish erka v'lo yisim matzei be'eretz achayim. Nobody ever can fully comprehend the entire Torah. So how could you tell me that the Torah is Nelam? Nelam would suggest that we once knew it and then we forgot it. No one ever knew the entirety of the Torah. So you're probably thinking of the Gemara Nida, where the Gemara says that when a child is be me'imai, so the Malach teaches him kol Torah kula. So I think it's a ha'ara. But either way, Amr Abaya. Abaya said, Kosova Rebbe, you have to say to answer these two kashas. Again, what are the kashas? If you're going to tell me that Vinelam in the parasha of Korban Eilu V'yori by Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav is coming to teach me that there was Yediyah, Vinelam, Vinelam, Shtei Yediyahs, Vinelam, V'hu Yada Vinelam, teach teaches me shtei yediyos, and the only time there's a parsha leil b'yerid if the halama was on the, not only if the halama was on the tumah, but even if the halama was on the mikdash v'kadoshav, meaning you're making a diuk v'nela michal sheyada, then you have to make the same diuk in the parsha of Saito. You have to make the same diuk as it relates to Torah, and over there it doesn't work. So Abaye said you have to say that it's true v'nela is a diuk, and it teaches me michal sheyada, but not what we thought. Meaning, we thought until now, until Daf Hayam and Aleph, that what does it mean, Yediyah Satoma? What does it mean that the person has to be aware that he's Tomei, then forget, then be aware again in order to be Chayiv Karbonei L'Vayarid? He has to know that right now I am Tomei. Tomei, I touched the Sheretz. Right now I can't eat Kachim, right? I can't eat the Beis HaMikdash. A day or two later he forgets, and then he remembers again. That's Pashat, the way you understand it. That's not what it means. Rather, Yediyah means Yediyah's base Rabbi Shema Yediyah. As long as this person was aware, even from when he was a child, that there's a concept of Tumah, and that when a person is Tumah, he can't enter the Beis HaMikdash, he can't eat Kachim, that in and of itself would constitute Yediyah. That's enough for Yediyah. V'nelan doesn't mean Michal Sheyada exactly what it was he forgot. V'nelan Michal Sheyada that he had Episa Yediya in the Inyan that he forgot, but not that he knew everything that he has since forgotten. Again, Ayin B'Rishayim, the Rishayim grapple to understand Pashim Shana and the Gemara. How does it answer the previous kashas? It answers the kasha because if Nelam doesn't necessarily mean you forgot or it was Nelam everything that you once knew, so it could be when we say that there was a halama regarding the Safik Saita, the halama just means that not he forgot that she was a Saita, he never forgot she was a Saita, but there was an element of it that was Nelam Imenu. Michal Sheyada doesn't mean exactly what it was that was Nelam. And as it relates to Torah as well, when we say that Torah is V'Nelma Me'enei Kol Chai, it doesn't mean that he once knew. No one can know the entire Torah. That's the other pasuk. Lo Yeda Ish Erka. What it means is that he has Episa Yediyah about the godless of the Torah, and even that was now V'Nelma Me'enu. But either way, it's not that we're saying that what you forgot, you must have once known. That's not the diuk. As a matter of fact, the law, the tenai of yediyah that you need for Eilu V'Yerid does not have to be that level of yediyah. Yediyah space, Rabbi Shema Yediyah. But only Rabbi Labayah, Rabbi asked Labayah. Elo diktani imba yediyah b'tchil v'yeshbi yediyah b'soif. Mi ikid leso yediyah base Rabbi. The Mishnah gave an example of there was no yediyah b'tchila, and there was yediyah b'soif. That person gets kapara through the sa'ir, hanase, b'chutz. But either way, what does it mean he had no yediyah b'tchila? Bishlam, if yediyah means he knows he's Tameh. So, could be he knew he was Tameh, and you can have an example where he didn't know he was Tameh. But if yediyah just means he's familiar with the laws of Tumah, is there anyone that's not familiar with the laws of Tumah? I'm like, yeah, of course there are. Mishkachasla, betinik shenishba lebein hanachrim, someone who didn't go to cheder, someone that didn't go to yeshiva, somebody that is not familiar with the laws of Tumah. So, nazak kasha, you don't have to knock off everything that we said. Bottom line is, we thought that when we say yediyah b'tchila, yediyah b'soif, it means that he's aware that he's tameh and he understands he can't eat kachim, and then somehow that was nelam imenu. Says the Gemara, that's not necessarily what it means. What it means is he was familiar with the laws of Tumah. Any person that was familiar with the laws of Tumah, even it's because he remembers it from fifth grade, it doesn't matter. If you're familiar with the laws of Tumah and now you become tameh, you accidentally enter the Beis HaMikdash, you accidentally eat kachim, and then afterwards, you're made aware of the fact that, oops, I was tummy when I did this. That would be enough to say that there'd be a parish of the earth. In fact, the only time you're going to have a case of Ein Bayadiyah B'tchila, or even Yesh Bayadiyah B'saif, or Ein Bayadiyah B'saif, is going to be a person that went to yeshiva. A person that didn't even have Yediyah's base rabbi. But if you had Yediyah's base rabbi, that would be enough for it to be considered Yediyah. Exhale. Either way, now we have to inhale again. It's here, Shabbos. Shein Arba. So the Mishnah discussed Shvuos, Shtayin Shein Arba. We had Yediyah Satoma, Shtayin Shein Arba. And now we have Yitzios HaShabbos, Shtayin Shein Arba. So the Gemara in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, Rashi in the Mishnah explained, what does it mean Yitzios HaShabbos, Shtayin Shein Arba? There are two examples of the Melacha of Hitzah. By the way, the 39th Melacha in the Mishnah in Klal Gadol, in the minion of the Lamentas Melachas. So there's two examples of it that are Mefurish in the Torah, and then there are two examples of it that are not Mefurish in the Torah. The two examples that are Mefurish in the Torah are two examples of somebody taking something from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabbah, what we know as Hoitzah. He took it from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabbah. That would be the Meleches Hoitzah that's Mefurish in the Torah. What are the two examples of that? The two examples of that is whether the person that was Moitzi Mirshus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabbim, was standing in Rishus HaYachid, what the Mishnah refers to as the Bal HaBayis, or the person that was Moitzi Mishus HaYachal, Rishus HaRabim, was actually standing in Rishus HaRabim, what the Mishnah refers to as the Ani. Bal HaBayis is usually inside, the Ani is outside. In the Bal HaBayis Ani context, the Yid knocking on the door. So the person inside is the Bal HaBayis, the person outside is the Ani. Whether it was the Bal HaBayis that was Moitzi, or it was the Ani who stuck his hand into the Rishus HaYochid and he was Moitzi, it's one and the same. Those are two examples of Yitzias HaShabbos that's Mefurish in the Torah. What are the two examples that are not Mefurish in the Torah? Albeit Asimadei Raisa, where the person wasn't Moitzi, but rather he was Machnes. You took from a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYochid. And again, it's two examples. You could be the Bal HaBayis who's taking from Rishus HaYochid, from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. You could be the Ani that's going from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. The point is, you have Yitzias HaShabbos that are Shtayim, Mefurish, the two cases of Hoitza, whether it's the Bal HaBayis or the Ani, Shein Arba, the two cases of Achnosa, that would also be the Bal HaBayis or the Ani. That's the way the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph explained the Mishnah Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba. Stating that, there's another Mishnah in Shas, and that's the first Mishnah in Mesecht Shabbos, a very well-known Mishnah. And that Mishnah starts off very similar to this Mishnah. At first glance, you would almost think it's the same Mishnah, but it's not. How does Mesecht Shabbos start? Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayin Shein Arba, Bifnim, Vishtayin Shein Arba Bechutz. Ketzad, and then the Mishnah goes into the details. Ani Oymed Bechutz, Ubalabayas Bifnim, Pasha the Ani Yasiyadi, Lefnim, and also Techyadi Shabalabayas. You go through the whole Mishnah over there. But the bottom line is, the Mishnah over there is the longer version of the Mishnah we have right here. Our Mishnah says Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayin Shein Arba. That Mishnah says Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayin Shein Arba Bifnim, Vishtayin Shein Arba Bechutz. Freig the Gemara. Tran Hossam, Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayin Shein Arba Bifnim, Shtayin Shein Arba Bechutz. Maishnah Hachad, the Tonish Shtayin Shein David Vesuloi. Hakim, in our Mishnah, we have the abridged version. It just says Shtayin Shein Arba. Why is it in the Mishnah over there? The Tani Shtayin Shein Arba Bifnim, Vishtayin Shein Arba Bechutz. Now, what does it mean? Shtayin Shein Arba Bifnim, Vishtayin Shein Arba Bechutz. So it's actually a machloikis. Between who? Rashi and Rashi. Rashi over here in Shavuos Daf Hei says one pshat, and Rashi in Masechta Shabbos Daf Beis Amud Aleph says another pshat. So ordinarily you would probably go with Rashi and Shabbos Daf Beis Amud Aleph. It's one of the first Rashi's in Masechta Shabbos, but we're learning Shavuos Daf Hei, so we're going to go with Rashi and Shavuos Daf Hei. Rashi says that Bifnim means Hachnasa, taking from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, and Bachutz means Hoitza, taking from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRab. So what the Mishnah in Shabbos is saying is, Yitzias HaShabbos, Shnayim Shein Arba Bifnim. There are two examples of Hachnasa, which are really four, Shnayim Shein Arba, and Shnayim Shein Arba Bachutz. There are two examples of Hoitza, which again, is really four. So what's the two and the four? The Shnayim of Hachnasa, the Shtayim part is whether it's the Ani or the Bal HaBayis, just like in our Mishnah. If the Ani is Machnes from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, or the Bal HaBayis is Machnes from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, it doesn't matter. Either way, it's going to be a Chil Shabbos Deiraisa. Shehein Arba. Those are examples, as the Mishnah speaks at Mefurish in Masechet Shabbos, if you remember the Mishnah. Examples where there'll be Chil Shabbos, but not Chil Shabbos Deiraisa, only Chil Shabbos Derabbanan. And the reason is, because in order to be a Moitzi, in order to be Eved Yisrael Tzah, you have to do Akira and Anocha. There's two parts to the Malacha. Akira means you lift it, Anocha means you put it down. So how would you do Eitzah Mirishos Lushos? You pick it up in one Rishos, you put it down in another Rishos. If one person, the Ani or the Bal HaBayis, does the Akira and the Anocha, he's going to be Chai. What if the Ani did the Akira and the Bal HaBayis did the Anocha? Or the Bal HaBayis did the Akira and the Ani did the Anocha? So being that no one person did the Akira and the Anocha, no one person is going to be a Mechal Shabbos. It's awesome in the Rabbana, but it's not going to be awesome in the Reis. So it's Yitzias HaShabbos, Shnayim Shein Arba Bifnim. There's two examples of Achnasa where you're Chayiv Midai Raisa, whether the Ani was the Machnes or the Bal HaBayis was the Machnes. Shehein Arba, there are two other examples where you're not going to be Chayiv Midai Raisa, where you're going to be Potter, where one did the Akira, one did the Hanacha, and the two examples of it. The Ani did the Akira, he did the Hanacha, he did the Akira, he did the Hanacha. And then you have Shnayim Shein Arba Bachutz. The same thing, two examples of Eitzah. The two examples where you're going to be Chayiv Midai Raisa, if the Ani or the Bal HaBayis did the Eitzah, Shein Arba, if one did the Akira and one did the Hanacha. But the bottom line is, the Gemara's Kash is, Maishnahacha. How come in our Mishnah we have the abridged version, Shnayim Shein Arba, which by the way isn't even talking about any of the examples where one person did the Akira, one person did the Hanacha, as the Gemara is going to explain. But the point is, we have the abridged version, Shnayim Shein Shin Arba, and in Masechta Shabbos we have the longer version. Says the Gemara, very posh the Teretz. Hasam over there, the Iker Shabbos. Over there, we're learning Masechta Shabbos. So Tani Avos V'Toldos. So over there, the Mishnah discussed Avos and Toldos. Hacha, but over here, the Lav Iker Shabbos. Over here, we're learning Masechta Shavuos. We're not learning Shabbos. So Avos Tani V'Toldos V'Tani. So our Mishnah mentioned the Avos, and our Mishnah didn't mention the Toldos. Says the Gemara, 1 second. We're talking about Ovis, we're not talking about Polis. Ovis, meinin, what's the Av Malacha Vaitzah? Yitzias. I'm going to see soon why. But the Av Malacha is Yitzias, meaning taking from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, in contrast to taking from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. The Av Malacha is Yitzias. Yitzias is Tarti Havyon. Yitzias is only two. There's only two examples of Yitzias. So, our Mishnah, if you're going to tell me, is only mentioning the Avos, then how could it be Shnayim Shein Arba? All it is really two. The Chitim, if you're going to tell me Mihen L'Chiv and Mihen L'Ptor, then no. The Mishnah is giving me two examples of Haitzah where you're Chayiv and two examples of Haitzah where you're Potter. The two examples where you're Chayiv is if one person did the Akira and Anacha, either the Ani or the Baal HaBayis. The two examples where you're going to be Potter is if one person did the Akira and the other person did the Anacha. So Zeh Geshmak. Our Mishnah says Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayin Shein Arba. It's talking only about the Malacha of Haitzah as opposed to Hachnasa. Again, they're both the same thing, but one is the Av Malacha, one is the Toldah. The Av Malacha is the Yitzias. Our Mishnah is only discussing the Yitzias. And it's Shtayim where you Chayiv Medei Raisa, and Shein Arba, the other two examples, where one did the Akira, one did the Anacha, where you're not going to be Chayiv. The Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, is discussing Yitzias HaShabbos Bifnin, Yitzias HaShabbos Bachotz. We're discussing the Haitzah and the Hachnasa, because it's Iker Shabbos, and we're not only talking about the Av Malacha, we're talking about the Toldah Malacha as well. The problem is, you're telling me now that our Mishnah's Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba, only two of them you're chayav for. That's the Shtayim. Shehein Arba, they're also examples of Hitzah from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, but you're not going to be chayav. Why aren't you going to be chayav? Because one person did Akira, one person did Anacha. But we already know from the Cheshbin of the previous Bletter that can't be. Vadumi Damaris Nagon Kitani. The Gemara had said this earlier, that Shtayim Shein Arba has to all be L'chiyuv. And how do we know that? We know that from Maris Nagon. Because Mahasam Kulu L'chiyuva, the Maris Nagon, Shtayim Shein Arba, we'll see what that is at the end of the daf. But we ain't seen nothing yet. But the Maris Nagon, Shtayim Shein Arba, which is all the chiyuv, afachikul lechiyuv. It has to be all the chiyuv. So you can't tell me that yitzias hashtabes shtayin shein arba means dafka hitzah as opposed to achnasa, and the shtayin where you chayim ederaisa and shtayin where you potter. This mishnah is all shtayin shein arba zachiyuv. So that can't be the answer. Elam rapap rapos said the tchilik must be a little bit different. Hasam over there, the ikir shabes tani chiyuvi upturi hacha chiyuvi tani upturi loyta yitzias hashabes shtayin shein arba is like maris negoyim shtayin shein arba. They're all l'chiyuva. Meaning, there are four examples that you're going to be chayiv. Now, there's only two examples where you're chayiv hoitzah. What's the Shein Arba? Like we explained it for the first few days that we've been learning Masechta Shavuos. It means two examples that are not l'furish in the Torah. They're the toldah. They're not the Av Malacha, but at the end of the day, you're going to be chayiv. So you have the two examples of hoitzah, and you have the two examples of achnas. The Mishnah doesn't mention anything about cases where you're going to be potter, because that's not our agenda. This is not Masechta Shabbos. This is Masechta Shavuos. We just thought it was nice to have a few cases of Shtayim Shein Arba. Hakofas HaRoish is Achash Shtayim, Ashach Zokin is Achash Chomesh. So now we have Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba, Satom Shtayim Shein Arba, Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba. Now Masechta Shabbos, we're about to sit down. You're going to learn Masechta Shabbos. The first nine blocks of Masechta Shabbos is the Sugis of Eitzah, right? Then you learn second say the Perek HaZorik. You're about to learn 15 blocks of laws that deal with Eitzah. So there, we already lay it on. We tell you all the halachas. We tell you the examples where you're going to be Chayim, the examples where you're going to be Potter, Akira, Nocha. You start getting into all the lumdis of Masechta Shabbos. So our Mishnah is discussing cases of Chiyuv. What are the cases? Two of Eitzah, two of Hachnasa. The Mishnah over there in Masechta Shabbos talks even about the cases where you're going to be potter. But the Gemara says, how's this going to work? Because Chiyuvi, my ninu, Yitzias, Yitzias, Tarti, Huda, Havyin, L'chayra, Yitzias, Haitzah, meaning, is going to be Chayuv only in two examples, either the Ani or the Baal Bayis, who does the entire Akirav Hanocha. What's the Shein Arba? The Shein Arba is Hachnasa. If you're going to go Shein Arba in Hoitzah, the other two are going to have to be Potter. Because only two examples of Hoitzah where you're going to be Chayiv, the other two examples of Hoitzah you're going to be Potter. Where is it possible four examples of Chayiv? Two Hoitzah, two Hachnasa. The Gemara's Kasha says in the word Yitzios suggests that we're talking about Hoitzah. It's afraid the Gemara, Yitzios, Taiti Hudahavian. So the Gemara, Shtayim Doitzah, the Shtayim Dachnasa. But by Yitzios, this is the emphasis of the Kasha. It says Yitzios. Yitzios sounds like four examples of Yitzios. You can't have four examples of Yitzios of Chiyav. It would have to be two Chiyav and two Ptor. Amar Rav Ashi, Tana, Hachnasa, Nam Yitzari Karlo. The Tana, the Mishnah, sometimes refers to the word Hachnasa as Yitzah. So Yitzios is Lav Dafka. It can mean Hachnasa. I mean, how do you know that? Tana, we learned in the Mishnah in Klal Gadol that discusses Lama Tes Malach. It says, Amit Mishus Lushus Chayiv, that the 39th Malach is somebody that carries Mishus Lushus, he's going to be Chayiv. Nam Yilay Askida, the Kam Ayali Yuli, Vika Karlo Yitzah. The Malach of Amitzi Mishus Lushus, it means Dafka, you're being Maitzi from Mishus Ayachat, Mishus Arabi. Maybe you're Maitzi from Mishus Arabi. And still you see, we use the Lashon of HaMoitzi. So you see that the Tana will use the word Moitzi or the word Yitziah, even though it's talking about Hachnasa. But the Gemara says, how do you know that? To the extent that you're telling me that HaMoitzi means Hoitzah, and by the way, that's the Av Malacha of Hoitzah is the Yitziah. So maybe when the Mishnah says HaMoitzi Mishos Lushos Chayev, it means you were taking it from Rishus Hayachah to Rishus Harabim, not from Rishus Harabim to Rishus Hayachah. So the Gemara says, no, this is the deal. Because Imke Nisni Hamoitzi Rishus Hayachah to Rishus Harabim. My Rishus Lushos. Why did the Mishnah use such a vague term? Rishus Lushos. It should have been more specific. If we mean to only mention the Av Malacha, and the Av Malacha is Rishus Hayachah to Rishus Harabim, should have said Rishus Hayachah to Rishus Harabim. Why this vague term of Mirshus Lushos must mean that Filo Mirshus Arabim Lushos Ayachid. Because the Mishnah wants to include the Tolda. And even though ordinarily the Mishnah over there is not discussing any Toldas, this is the only one of the 39 Malachas that the Mishnah for some reason decided to use a Lushin and mention the Tolda as well. So take a look at the top Tosfos. Tosfos asks the Kasha, but either way, bottom line is V'kakari Le'aitzah. So you see that the word Yitzios can be Seivol Hachnasa. So Yitzios HaShabbos Tayin Shein Arba, we're talking only about Chiyuvim. Two of Hoitzah, two of Achnasa. Aye, if it's Achnasa, why the word Yitziah? Because the Tana sometimes will refer to Achnasa as Yitziah, says the Gemara. The time, my, what's the reason for it though? Okay, we need a little bit of a beer. Tana, kol akiras chayfetz mim koyma yitzar karila. Meaning, usually if you ask the man on the street, what does Yitziah mean? He'll tell you, taking it from Rishus HaYochid, I took it outside. That's not what it means in Tanakh vernacular. What it means is you're moving a Rishus. You might see something. Akiras Chayfetz. All wonders. Mim Koimai Haitzai Karila. I don't mean to do it inside, outside. That's not the word Yitziah. That's the way it would be ordinarily translated, but not when the Tanaim are speaking. So anytime you move a Chayfetz Mim Koimai to a Makan Acher, that's considered Haitzai. It's Yitziah Sashabis. Yeah, Shtayin Shainar. But inside, outside, as it relates to the word Haitzai, it doesn't suggest more outside than bringing it inside. It says the Gemara, Amr Rabina. Rabina said, Masnisen Nami Deka. The Mishnah is also mashma that way. Itani Yitzias Shabbos Shnayin Shein Arba Bifnim, Vishnayin Shein Arba Bechutz, Vikomefarish Hachnosa, Shma Mina. If you look at the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, so the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos is the longer version. Shnayin Shein Arba Bifnim, Vishnayin Shein Arba Bechutz. And then the Mishnah explains it. You know which one it explains first? It explains first Hachnosa, and then Hoitzah. It explains first taking from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, and then it explains from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. So Ravina was a little bit bothered that why would the Mishnah that's saying Allah of Yitziah is talk first about Achnasa and then Yitziah? Says Ravina, Vaistois, the word Yitziah has nothing to do with taking it inside versus taking it outside. So for whatever reason, Mishnah decided to talk about bringing it in first. But if the word Yitziah meant Hoitzah, and just somehow we're including in the word Yitziah Sashabas Achnasa also, then it wouldn't make sense. It wouldn't be Matim to start with Achnasa. It would make more sense to start with Hoitzah. Either way, that was Ravina's Dekanami. Rava said a different teretz, Rishuyois Kitani. Meaning, if Yitziah meant Miloshon Yitziah, then it'd be a good kasha. It would sound like we mean Yitziah, taking it out. So where do you have cases of Shtayin Shein Arba? Only have Shtayin Shein Arba if we're talking about Chiyuvim and we're talking about Peturim. But we know our Mishnah, Chiyuvik Tani Peturim, like Tani Domei Demaris Nego. Says Rav Avadif from Shad, Yitziah doesn't mean taking it outside. It doesn't even mean Achkiras Chayfetz Memkoimai. Yitziah is Miloshon Moitzah. It's a different word. It's Rishuyos. It means Rishuyos. And what the Tana of the Mishnah means to say is Rishuyos Shabbos Shtayim. There's two Rishuyos Le'inyin Shabbos. What are the two Rishuyos? Rishus Hayach and Rishus Rabbim. Even though the Brisa says it's four Rishuyos, Karmelis and Makaptor, that's only in the Rabbanim. Midday Rice, it's really only two. Shehin Arben, there's four ways to be Chayev. What's the four ways? You can take him Rishus Hayach and Rishus Rabbim in two ways, Oni or the Balabais. And you can take him Rishus Rabbim to Rishus Hayach in two ways, Oni or the Balabais. But it's not Yitzios, again, in terms of taking it outside. It's Yitzios in terms of. It's Yitzios in terms of the different Rishuyos. Bottom line. So our Mishnah said Yitzios HaShabbos Shtayin Shein Arba. What does it mean? What it means is that there are two examples that are mefurish in the Torah of Chil Shabbos as it relates to the Melacha of Yitzah. Shein Arba, there are another two examples that although they're not mefurish in the Torah, they're also going to be Asa Medei Raisa. The two that are mefurish are Yitzah. The two that are not mefurish are Hachnasa. Why is it two? It's one. The Balabayas and the Ani, we look at it from each one of their respective perspectives. So, Ani the Balabayas could be Moitzi, the Ani the Balabayas could be Machnes, that's the Shnayin Shein Arba. Masechta Shabbos, we have a more long-winded Mishnah, because there it's Shabbos, and then we don't want to just talk about the four examples of Chiyuv, we also want to talk about the four examples of Ptor. What are the examples of Ptor? Where one person did Dakir, one person did Nacha. And again, you could have where you're being Moitzi, and either the Ani or the Balabayas did the Akira, the other one did the Anach, or you'd be Machnes, and one did the Akira, and one did the Anach. So as it relates to Raid, Shavuos Daf Hei is very much a Daf that you would expect to find in Masechta Shabbos, and the truth is, it's a Daf that you can find in Masechta Shabbos. In fact, the words Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayin Shein Arba are the opening words of Masechta Shabbos. There's a nuance between the way the halacha was presented in Shavuos Daf Beis versus the way it was presented in Shabbos Daf Beis. And part of the avoid of today's daf was figuring out what exactly that nuance is and why in Masechta Shavuos it's presented one way and why in Masechta Shabbos it's presented another way. But really, today's daf is very much the psicha of Masechta Shabbos, which begs the question, and that is, why does Masechta Shabbos begin Yitzias HaShabbos? Why does it begin with the Melacha of Hoitzah? And just to bring out the question a little bit more, we know that there are 39 Melachas. The Mishnah in Perakal Gadol, Shabbos Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph, is Moina, all the 39 Melachas. If you keep score, the 39th Melacha is the Melacha of Hoitzah. So Yisai Meres, Hoitzah is really the last of the Lamatas Melachas. Yet, in Masechta Shabbos, when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was Masada the Mishnah, and Ravina Ravashi wrote their Gemara, the first sugya that's discussed is the very last Melacha. And if that's the question, Tzarech Ian, why is it that Masechta Shabbos begins with, from all things, the 39th of the Melachas? And the truth is, you know who asked this kasha? Tosfos asked this kasha. It's the very first Tosfos of Masechta Shabbos. Tosfos says a teretz based on his yesod that he says throughout Masechta Shabbos and sprinkled the Masechta's Erevin as well. And that is, Hoitzah is a Melacha Gerua. It's a very unique type of Melacha. Tosfos explains a lot of anomalies related to the Melacha of Hoitzah using that yesod. One of the things that Tosfos explains is why the Masechta begins with the Melacha of Hoitzah. And for more on this topic, I am Berelated Raid Bites. But we once mentioned a Dovar Nifla that I saw in the Shailos Tshuvos Eretz Tzvi from the Kozhik Lava Goyen, Hashem Yom Kam Damoy. I think it's Kedai to Chazer that Shtikl, the Ein Beis Medrash, Beloy Chiddush Nifla. So the Kozhik Lava Goyen in a Tshuva, and this is in Chelek Aleph, it's Simen Mem Aleph. The Tshuva was written to the Kozhik Lava's great Rebbe, the Heilige Avni Nezer. And in the Tshuva he discussed in Yonim Shoinim, they went through different things, and Toich Dvarov, he writes as follows, Esmo lamadati b'medrash rabbah b'parshas ha-shavua. He said, yesterday I was learning medrash rabbah for this week's parsha, Kiyadua, in Poland. The minig was that the Oilam would learn every week the medrash rabbah on that parsha. So the Kozhik Lava, who was of course a Polisher, told his Rebbe Avni Nezer, who of course was a Polisher, yesterday I was following the minig, and
I was learning Medrash Rabba on the parasha, and I came across the following Medrash. Goy sheshomer es haShabbos actually kibel olav es hamilah chayiv misa. A guy that keeps Shabbos before he was mekabel on himself the mitzvah of milah is chayiv misa. Now, of course, this Medrash is related to the Gemara in Perek Arba Misas Bezder Masechta Sanhedrin that says that a guy that keeps Shabbos is going to be chayiv misa. But the Kozhiklova said that if you look carefully at the lashon of the Medrash, it seems very unique. Goy sheshomer es haShabbos actually kibel olav es hamila chayev misa. And really, there's two diukim. Number one, it sounds like from the Medrash that what it depends on, meaning whether or not the goy will be chayev misa for keeping Shabbos or not, is mila. And even that, it's not just mila. It's if he was mekabel olav es hamila. But said the Kozhiklova that one thing I think I see in this Medrash is a raya to what the Rebbe said, and it's printed in Shailos HaTshuvos Avni Nezer Yerideya Simen Shin Nun Alef. So what did the Avni Nezer say in that tshuva? So we know it's a braisa mesechtes yevamis and perik hacholitz daf mem vavam and aleph. It's a three-way machloikis tanon. How exactly gerus is consummated? Rabbi Eliezer says that a ger shemol v'loy toval is a ger. Rabbi Yeshua says, a ger she toval v'loy mol is a ger. The chachamim oimrim toval v'loy mol, mol v'loy toval, ein ger ad shen yimol v'yitpa. According to the chachamim, the only way a person could become a ger is if he does number one, mila, and number two, tefillah. Machloikis tanon, that is the shitas of chachamim, this is the way the Rambam paskins, and this is what's gepaskit in Shulchan Aruch, that in order for somebody to become a ger, he would need two things. Number one, he would need mila. Number two, he would need tefillah. By the way, bizban shebeis hamikdash ayakayim, he would have to bring a carbon as well. But now that there's no beis hamikdash, through mila and through tefillah, that's the way a person becomes a ger. Stating that, said Avni Nezer, I want to say a chiddush. If you have a ger shemol v'loy toval, even according to the Chachamim, that whole ein oiger atchin yimol v'yitbol, if he wants to keep Shabbos, he would be allowed to keep Shabbos. And it could be he would even have a mitzvah to keep Shabbos. Why? Because what's the makar to the Shitas HaChachamim? That in order to have a geiris, you would need milah and tefillah. We learn it from the Yitz in Mitzrayim. When the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they had milah. The milah was done in Mitzrayim. And then, b'shas matan Torah, they had tefillah. At matan Torah, the Yidden were megayir. Zoysay Meres, the two things that the Yidden did in order to have a Geiris was Mila and Tefillah. There was a carbon as well. But the point is, you see, Mila and Tefillah are both necessary prerequisites in order for somebody to become a Ger. So said the Avni Nezer, a Dover Nifla. He said that we know that the Yidden were Nitztava in Shabbos before they came to Har Sinai. The Yidden were Nitztava in Shabbos in Mara. Now, when the Yidden were in Mara, they hadn't toivled yet because the Tefillah happened first at the time of Matan Torah. They had Mila because the Mila they got before they left Mitzrayim, the Ever Alayich, the Erech, Misboiseses, B'damayich, V'oy Malach, B'damayich, Chayi, V'oy Malach, B'damayich, Chayi was Dam Pesach and Dam Mila, but the Tefillah they hadn't had yet. That means when the Yidden were in this interim Matziv, they were in between the Mila and the Tefillah. They were B'pchines, Gershom, Mavaloi, Taval, they were Nitztava on Shabbos. So said Avni Nezer, if the whole Yisoid of Eina Gerachim of Yitbol is based on the fact that that's what Klal Yisrael did, meaning we're mirroring our Hilchas Geiris based on the Yotzei Mitzrayim. So Zil Basa Taima, the Yidden themselves, when they were Yotzei Mitzrayim, they got the mitzvah of Shabbos when they were in that matziv of a ger shamal v'loy taval. So even though in halacha a ger shamal v'loy taval is not a full-fledged yid, but at the same time a ger shamal v'loy taval who wants to keep Shabbos will be allowed to keep Shabbos. Ay, akim sheshavas is chayev misa. That's true. But once he's mal v'loy taval, he's not anymore a full-fledged akum. And from the fact that the yidden themselves got Shabbos when they were in a matziv of mal v'loy taval, so too, every single ger that's mavaloi taval, if he wants to keep Shabbos, will be allowed to keep Shabbos. So the Kozhiklova told Avni Nezer, he said, I think in this Medrash you see a Mefurash. Because the Medrash says, Goy sheshomer es haShabbos, actually kibel olav es hamila. Why are we talking about mila? According to the Chachamim, it's not mila, it's enoi ger achiyim over yitbol. The Teretz is, as it relates to Shabbos, it is about mila. Because Klal Yisrael themselves, when they were ger shomavaloi taval, We're already nitztava in the mitzvah of Mila. And then the Kajal Glover went weiter, and he said that lefi hanal, maybe you could be miyashiv, the first Tosfos is kasha in Masechet Shabbos. Tosfos asked the kasha, that why is it that Masechet Shabbos begins Yitzias HaShabbos? Yehuda va'oidlkra, in the minion of the Lamites Malachis, Haitzah is the 39th Malacha. So if it's the 39th Malacha, then you would think that it should be discussed last. Why are we discussing it first? So said the Kajal Glover, another hoysofa nifla, and that is the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that even though the Yidden got Shabbos when they were in Mara, but atchumen lo nitztavu b'mara, they didn't get the mitzvah of tchumen. Tosfos says that being that the malacha of Haitzah is learned from the parsha of tchumen, al yetzei yishmim koymoi, it would come out that if the Yidden didn't get tchumen when they were in Mara, they also didn't get the malacha of Haitzah when they were in Mara. So said the Kajal Glover, what's the panemius? That the Yidden got 38 of the Lamites Malachis when they were in Mara, but Haitzah they didn't. So this is above my pay grade. But said the Kajal Glover, it's Muchach from here, that when the Yidden were in a matziv of Miktsas Geiris, when they were Mavalei Taval, they were already in a state where they were Shayach to Shabbos. However, only 38 of the Malachis. The Malach of Haitzah, they couldn't get until they completed their Geiris. Must be this some Kedusha that the 39th Malach of Haitzah has that the other 38 Malachis don't have. If that's the case, it would explain why 38 of the Malachis the Yidden were able to observe when they were only Begeder Miktsas Yehudi, but the 39th Malach, the Malach of Haitzah, for that already, they had to be a Fartig Yid. If that's the case, Haitzah is more Kaddish than the other 38 Malachis. We know the Gemara says in Perek Kol Adodim, Sech Tizvachim, Kol Atodim Mechaveiroi, Koidim Lechaveiroi. But the Gemara also says, Kol Amekudish Mechaveiroi, is Koidim Lechaveroi. Haitzah is Mekudesh Mechaveroi. And being that it's Mekudesh Mechaveroi, it's Koidim Lechaveroi, and that's why the Tana mentioned first the Malach of Haitzah. The Kajal Glover said that's also why Haitzah is the 39th Malacha. Why is it Malacha 39? Because in the Seder Advarim, in the Shalshelis Advarim, of how the Malachas won Nitztava, the 39th Malacha that they got was the Malacha of Haitzah. Because Haitzah, the Yidden didn't get until they were Mekabel the Torah, as opposed to the other 38 they got already in Mara. So as it relates to the Seidah Dvarim, how they were Nitztava in Haitzah less. And it's for that reason, it's the 39th Malacha. But in terms of the Kedusha, from the fact that you have to be a fighting Yid in order to be Shaykh to the Malacha of Haitzah, that means it's more Kaddish. And if it's more Kaddish, Loi Mishpat HaMechayra. And that's why said the Kajal Glover, when the time of the Mishnah sat down and he wanted to be Mesader, Masechet Shabbos, he began with the holiest of all the malachas, and that is the malach of Haitzah, and that's why Masechet Shabbos begins Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayim Shehein Arba. The truth is that this chiddush of the Avnei Nezer was something that played itself out in a real life shaila that was literally Marashoy Lamois. It spanned seas, began in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, and made its way into Europe, Germany, and different places with great Talmidei Chachamim and great Meshivim. And really the story began with a Ger Tzedek who had gone through a Geiris process by the Beis Din Tzedek of Yerushalayim. Now, he had done his Mila, and Keminig HaGeiris, he was waiting for the wound of the Mila to heal before he was going to be able to Teufel. The Ger was a little older, and as a result, it took a little bit longer for his wound to heal. In the meantime, Sigikumen Shabbos. Shabbos, after Mincha, this Ger runs into Beis Medrash, and he's looking for the great Rav, the great Dayan, Rav Osher Lemel Levi. Now, the Beis Din Tzedek at that time was being run by Rav Shmuel Misalant, but Rav Shmuel Misalant happened to have been in Chutz Laretz at the time, and as a result, Rav Osher Lemel, he was in charge of the Beis Din, and this Yid comes running over to Rav Osher Lemel. It's already Shkia time, and he tells him that, I'm a little bit stuck, I have a quandary. Why? I'm in the middle of doing my Geiris. I was a Ger Shemal of a Veloy Tavah, because we're waiting for the wound to heal. do I keep Shabbos or do I not keep Shabbos? Now, I've been keeping Shabbos up until this point, under the assumption that I'm already shayach to Shabbos because of the fact I was mekabel mitzvahs, I did what I was supposed to do. But at the same time, I know I didn't complete my geiris because I didn't do the tefillah, and I know goyish Shabbos is chayav misa. So, what am I supposed to do? So, Rabbi Shlomo sat down, and he was mispointing a little bit, and he made a back of the envelope cheshbon. He said that it's a machlokes tanaim yevamis ben vavam et aleph exactly how geiris is consummated. We paskin like the chachamim inoy ger at sheyimol v'yitbal. It's a mafurish gemara mesechta Sanhedrin that akum sheshavas is chayev misa. So he said you're not a yid based on yevamis ben vav. You're not allowed to keep Shabbos based on Perek Arba Mises Bezdin. And he said, as a result, you have no choice. You have to be Mechal Shabbos. So he said, what should I do? So he took a piece of paper and he gave him a pen. And he said, sit down and just write a word or a few words, a few oisias. And based on that, you'll be Mechal Shabbos. And like this, you'll be able to be Mekayim this inyan. The next day, word got out in the Geselach of Yerushalayim that Rabbi Shlomo had told this Ger Tzedek to be Mechal Shabbos. And it made a huge tumult. And Kol Yisrael, Ke'ish Echad B'Lev Echad, felt that it was a milsa de Tmiyah. It was a very Mechudash de Gepsak. Why? They didn't know. But for sure, it seemed strange. This is someone that's already holding Ot. He began his Geiris. He was Nichnas Bebrisa Shel Avram Avinu. And we're telling him to go now and to be Michal Shabbos, and the Svardim, and the Ashkenazim, and all the different Kreizen that lived in Yerushalayim at the time, they all came out very, very strongly against the Psak of Rav Ashalemel. Now, Rav Shmuel Misaland wasn't present at the time. He would have been the Poisek Achroin, but he wasn't there. And as a result, Rav Ashalemel was looking for a little bit of support for his Psak. So he decided to send what happened to his good friend, Rabbi Yaakov Eklinger, the Baal Orech Laner, who was living in Germany. And he said, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, maybe you could write a tshuva, maybe you could be mechazik me a little bit because of what happened. And the Orech Laner responded to the request of Rabbi Shlomo. In fact, his response is printed in Shailos HaTshuvas Binyan Tzion. It's in Simen Tzadik Aleph. Now, if you go through the tshuva, the Orech Laner sets up the story. He tells it in great detail. And then he gets to the lomdus. And he tells Rabbi Shlomo that even though everything that you said is Dvarim Shel Tam, it's a back of the envelope, cheshbon. It's so obvious. It's literally 1 + 1 = 2. He said, but it doesn't feel right. And he said, not just that. I asked around by some of the Dayanim, and they all told me that no one ever heard of such a Zach. That if there's a Ger Shemovel Leitoval and Sukkum Shabbos, he keeps Shabbos like a Yid. Abel Amaisa, you're right. And it's time, my boy. So he said, I thought about it a little bit, and I have two horrors. The first horror, said Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, is that we know that when someone gets Bris Milah, he's Nichnas Bebrisa Shel Avram Avinu. He enters a covenant that the Torah talks about in the end of Parashas Lech Lecha, a covenant that makes him very, very special in terms of his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a covenant that the Ramban is mafligin, where you now become literally someone who's tachas, the Hashkocha Protis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it's a bechina of now you're doima kemisha yeshlo yaloika, where your fate is not going to be tali and mazel, but rather it's going to be tali and your mitzvahs and mais and toivim, schar v'oinish, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to micromanage every single element of your life. He said, it's poshut to me that once somebody is nichnas bebrisa shel Avram Avinu, even though the chlal yisrael loy ba, according to the chachamim that hold, ein oigera chenyimo v'yitpol, ober michal akum kfar yotza. He says, it can't be that you're an akum if you're nichnas bebrisa shel Avram Avinu. He said, to me it's a steer. And being that it's a stira, it's poshut that that's probably why a ger shomavol oitaval at the end of the day is no longer bebchinis akum sheshavas, where it would be chayim misa. But then the Aruch Laner said that I was thinking about it a little bit more, and I think there's a raya to this, because Klai Yisrael themselves, when were they nitzav in Shabbos? They were nitzav in Shabbos when they were in Mara. When they were in Mara, they were bebchinis mavol oitaval. How were they able to get a mitzvah of Shabbos? What happened to akum sheshavas? The teretz is once they did mila, even though it's true the geiris wasn't fired to get, but they were nichnas bevrisa Shel Avram Avinu, and as a result, they're no longer Akum. And if they're no longer Akum, they're no longer Shaykh to this halacha of Akum Sheshavas. He wrote back to Rabbi Shlomo, I wish I could support. support you, meaning everything that you did was Dvarim Shaltam, Abulamaisa, it's not the way we fear Zich, and I think I'm giving you two plausible reasons why this should be the case. It's interesting, if you have the Sefer Teres Rabbeinu Shmuel Salant, Zeichet Tzadok Levrach, it's three volumes, it's something that you can find. So it's a likud of a lot of different Torah from Reb Shmuel Misalant. And in Chelek Aleph, Simen Lamed Aleph, the name of the simon is Be'inyan Gersha Mol V'loy Tava Le'inyan Shmiru Shavis. And they bring here the whole shmuls and the whole arichos of exactly how it played itself out. Now, one of the writers here in this simon is Rabbi Yechiel Mechel Tikachinsky, who we know through marriage was an enikel from Rabbi Shmuel Misalant, and he was Meshamishim very, very much. And as a result, a lot of what we know from Rabbi Shmuel Misalant came from the great Goyen, Rabbi Yechiel Mechel Tikachinsky. But regardless, Rabbi Yechiel Mechel tells his version of the story. One of the things you have here in the Sefer for Rabbi Shmuel Misalant is we have a very, very long tshuva for Rabbi Asher Lemel. In Shaila Shetshuvas Binyan Tzion, all we have is the response of the Binyan Tzion, of the Aruch Laner, to Rabbi Asher Lemel. But over here, you can actually see the tshuva that Rabbi Asher Lemel wrote. One of the things that jumps off the page is, what a fartig goyin olam. Obviously, he sat on the Bezdin Tzedek in the mid-19th century. But the point is that if you go through his tshuva, which I did very, very quickly, toich dvarov, he's mitzadeid, this svara of the Binyan Tzion, meaning he was mechaven to it, and not just that, he says that maybe you could even bring a raya from a Medrash Rabbah, where the Medrash Rabbah said, Rav Asher Lemel says, Goyshe Shomer Es HaShabbos, Adshaloi Kimel Olav Es HaMilo Chayev Miso, and he was mechaven to the raya of the Kosher Glover Goyen, and he says, L'chayre, that Loshen HaMedrash is actually very mashma, to Goyne Yoyla, making the same brilliant diak in a Medrash, but he was doichet, and the reason he was doichet was, he said, because we have a Messiah that when it comes to writing tshuvas and when it comes to halachic shailas, ein mevin rayim in hamedrash. So he said, although it's a riesige diak, and it would very much support the argument that really this Gershom Avodai Tavol is obligated to keep Shabbos, but at the end of the day, it's a medrash, the ein mevin rayim in hamedrash. Either way, this is the chiddush of the Avnei Nezer that the Kosher Glover brought a raya to from a medrash rabbah in Shailos Hatshuvos Eretz Tzvi Simin Mem Aleph. It's a chiddush that the Aruch Laner was mechaven to in Shailos Hatshuvos Binyan Tzion and Simin Tzadik Aleph with regards to this big shail of Alach Lamaisa. Why are we talking about this right now? Because the Kosher Glover said that with this raid, maybe we could be miyashin if Tosfos is first Kasha Masech to Shabbos. Okay, so why are we talking about that? We're learning Shavuos, not Shabbos, because Shavuos Daf Hey is very much Shabbos Daf Beis. Either way, this is the first part of the raid bite. But I want to share with you the rest of the story. And before, just a shout out to Echad Bibnei HaChabura, Pini Stieglitz, who is someone that I've had the privilege to correspond with several times over the last bunch of years. He sent me an article a while back. I put a little bookmark next to it. And it's something that's fascinating. It's very much the rest of the story, and it's very much relevant to what we're talking about right now. So in the year 1844, a man by the name of Warder Cresson was appointed as the first American consul to Jerusalem. In English, he was the first American diplomat that was ever assigned some duties in what would 100 or so years later become the state of Israel. Now, the story of Warder Cresson is he was born in 1798 in Philadelphia to a Quaker family. Now, Kamina got Quakers. He got married young. He had six children. And he had a very, very successful farming business. So he was a successful entrepreneur. He was also brilliant, and he was also religiously very, very curious. And he decided, like Yisroel, to start dabbling in every religion that he can get his hands on. He tried this, he tried that, et gedin, Allah avodah zarah, until finally he landed upon Judaism. He lived in Philadelphia. So if you know a little American history from that time, there was a very influential rabbi by the name of Reb Isaac Leiser, and he became a student of Isaac Leiser. He would listen to his sermons, and he was very influential of making him very, very interested in Yiddishkeit. His interest in Yiddishkeit got to the point that he decided that he was willing to entertain conversion, but First things first, he believed in a very deep place that a Yid belongs in Eretz Yisrael. I'll just read one excerpt. This is from his own diary. If I could have honestly believed that the fullest degree of the glory of the coming kingdom might have been possessed without any connection with place, I might have still remained at home in my sealed house with a beloved and virtuous wife and lovely family. Great and precious were the many privileges that I enjoyed there, and I feel most sensibly the deprivation of them. But the light and conviction of God's precious promises in reference to the turn of the Jew and setting up his everlasting kingdom at Mount Zion and Jerusalem became so great that if I could no longer remain at home, therefore I have forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, mother, wife, children, and lands for the kingdom of God's sake. Here's what we would referred to as a proto-Zionist. So he was someone that was feeling this fervor of going to Eretz Yisrael 50 or so years before the modern and before the secular Zionist movement would even surface. But either way, he decided that he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. He was very, very well connected because of his influence and his power and his wealth. And he decided that, you know, instead of just going to Eretz Yisrael, book a ticket on El Al, so he's going to do this in a more scenic way, and he lobbied to get himself this position as becoming an American diplomat, which he knew once he arrived, you know, in the Holy Land, it would open up a lot of doors for him, and he becomes the very, very first American consul to the city of Jerusalem. And he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he lives there for a couple of years, and then finally, he decides that he wants to be Megayer, and he goes through a Gayrus process. Comes back to America, and when he comes back to the United States, he finds that his wife had left him. His children wanted to have nothing to do with him. And not just that, his wife, who had been given power of attorney for all his geschäften before he got away, because someone had to take care of the business, used that power of attorney to say that the business is mine, I'm not giving it back to you. But what do you mean? It was only given to you temporarily. So her counter-argument was that you're insane. And because you're insane, you're not in a position, you don't have the mental acuity and the mental capacity to be able to run our family's business. You don't have the mental capacity to have anything to do with our children. And she basically said that based on the fact that he's just simply insane, I'm not giving you back the business. Now, he sued her. They went to some local court and she won. He was deemed to be insane, and based on that, he lost everything. Now, to be fair, he wasn't insane. To be fair, he was a little eccentric, if you read the story, but insane he wasn't. There was no history of him ever having been admitted to any psychiatric ward or insane asylum. As far as we know, he was an interesting guy, but at the same time, insane he wasn't. And the truth is, if you read the tshuva that was written by that local court in Philadelphia, the primary argument that was being made to argue this conviction of insanity was the fact that he had converted to Judaism. And who in his right mind would take upon himself the yoke of this religion? It makes absolutely no sense. And it was based on that he was found guilty. Now, he was a very connected person. He goes, he hires this huge lawyer, some big celebrity attorney, and they decide they're going to appeal this ruling by a higher court. This ruling that was now going to be appealed started garnering media attention. There was a 5-day trial. Every single minute of this was documented in all the papers. And at the end of the 5-day trial, he was actually absolved, meaning the ruling was overturned and it was determined that he's not insane. And because of that, he was given his business back. And if you study, which I haven't, but if you study American Jewish law, apparently this was a very, very important ruling because it was something that basically strengthened religious liberties in the United States. It was considered a constitutional rights victory. It strengthened the First Amendment that a person has a right to practice any religion that he wants to practice, and no person shall be deemed insane based on the religious decisions that this person is going to make. Now, his Shalom Bayis was a shtickle on the rocks, and he decided that, you know what, maybe I should have never even come home. So he took all the cash he could carry with him, and he went back on the next boat, and he returns to Eretz Yisrael, where he ended up living into the 1860s, where he passed away. Incidentally, when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he got married again. He had two children that both passed away before he died, and he ends up dying childless in Eretz Yisrael. In his diary, in Warder Crescent's diary, he wrote a lot about his story. One of the things that he wrote was as follows. He says, quote, "I remained in Jerusalem in my former faith." This is when he had come the first time as an American consul, "until the 28th day of March, 1848, when I became fully satisfied that I can never obtain strength and rest, but by doing as Ruth did and saying to her mother-in-law, Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. In short, upon the 28th day of March, 1848, I was circumcised, entered the Holy Covenant, and became a Jew." So I'm going to tell you something fascinating. There was some research that was done by the academic world. If you take a look at the tshuva from the Binyan Tzion, the infamous Gershom Avodai Tova, that was Marish Olamos in the Bezdin of Rabbi Shmuel Lemer of Shmuel Misalant. So he tells you when the story happened. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Be'uvda Da'asal Yodan. This is Rabbi Shmuel Lemer writing. Poi Ira Kodesh, Yerushalayim. Yoim Gimel, Chav Gimel, Yerich Adar Sheini Shnas, Tov Reish Ches Ha'avar. You can fact check this. If you look it up, Yoim Chav Gimel Adar Sheni Shnas Tov Reish Ches is exactly March 28, 1848. It's fascinating. He's the guy. The truth is, if you look at the tshuva says that this ger that came, he came from Morocco. That's what it says. He came from Mem Aleph, Reish Aleph, Kuf Aleph. And it's a little bit of a chiddush, because number one, he's describing the tshuva as being a noitzri. What's a noitzri doing in Morocco? Not just that, the Moroccans were all circumcised, right? The Bnei Keturah also chayiv amivo. So, he didn't come from Morocco? What? Teretz came from America. He didn't come from Morocco. It came from America. But the dates are the same exact day. Exact. Not with the koil. It's exact. It's the same exact day. It's fascinating. This L'chaira would seem to be the rest of the story. But I'll tell you something interesting. I was discussing this last night with the Chevra. I discussed it with Nachi. I discussed it with Davi Safir. And Davi told me that him and Yehuda Geber actually wrote an article on Warder Crescent in Mishpacha magazine, in their weekly article. This was a couple of years ago. And they brought this theory, which almost seems impeccable beyond reproach, that Warder Crescent is actually, that Warder Crescent is actually this person that's mentioned right here in this famous tshuva. He's buried on Har HaZeisim. And by the way, this is why Yehuda Geber is the GOAT tour guide. Because if you go with Yehuda on Har HaZeisim, one of the stops that he makes is by the caver of Warder Crescent. I was reading a little bit more about him. It seems that when he passed away, when he was Nifter, he had a tremendous covet, meaning the Anche Yerushalayim. Who were the Anche Yerushalayim at that time, right? I mean, we know the Talmid Agra, the Talmid Chasam Sofer, the Talmid Ksav Sofer. They had such chshivas for what he had done, the way he was moisten nefesh. He lived b'ktusha v'tahayra in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, that all the stores in Yerushalayim closed that day, out of covet, out of deference. And they gave him a levaya the way the gedolim in Yerushalayim used to have a levaya. Lamaisa, he left this world. He didn't leave over any children. Maybe a non-Jewish family somewhere in Pennsylvania. I don't know. But he didn't leave over a Jewish family, that's for sure. But it's interesting. Even though he didn't leave over a family, and he lived a very fascinating, a very eccentric secular life, but he actually was zoicha to be a part of Jewish history. He was zoicha to be a part of Jewish literature. He's mentioned in a tshuva, in Shailas HaTshuvas Binyan Tzion, which is a tshuva shehutzrich ledoiros. He's someone that's mentioned in this fascinating tumult that involves a tshuva from the Abni Nezer, a tshuva from the Kajag Lavagoyin. Either way, Yusuf Soysef Doivos Bekever, Yehi Zichrei Baruch. And now you know the rest of the story.